Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, let's jump out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline real quick. Shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors at one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. Tony Pauline, friend of the show, going to join us now, host of the Draft Analyst on the Believe Podcast Network and analyst at ProFootballNetwork.com. Tony, good morning. How are you, buddy?
I'm okay. Thanks for having me.
Tony, thanks for coming on. And I got to apologize ahead of time because I didn't think it was going to be this early in the season that we were going to be reaching out to you about the draft. So I'm sorry, Tony. This usually takes place in late November, December, man. So I apologize, but it's pretty obvious the Dolphins are taking a quarterback. I think everybody sees that. I was wondering, Tony, just in general, we've talked about the same. You know everybody's on that tank for Tua thing down here. But I was wondering, how do you evaluate the guys that aren't on great teams that don't have a lot of talent around them, a guy like Jordan Love at Utah State or somebody like that, or even Fromm doesn't have the weapons that Burrow has and Tua has. And so how do you go about trying to figure out? Because we look at those sexy numbers and Tua's throwing to all those first-round picks and he's throwing for 900 yards in three quarters. How do we evaluate them all?
Never mind the fact that, you know, his running back core goes three deep and he's got a great offensive line. And, you know, it's funny. The opposite is just it can sometimes be just as difficult. How do you properly evaluate Tagliavoa, you know, really with all that great talent around him? But to answer your question, you know, a guy like Jordan Love from Utah State, who I've had great as a first-round pick for the longest time, you're looking at more of his upside, what he's going to be, what you can potentially turn him to be once you get the proper tools around him, once you get him into an NFL passing system. The thing about Jordan Love, the thing that you want to see with a guy is that he makes good decisions. And Jordan Love makes good decisions, that he's not relying on arm strength to make passes, you know, to force the ball into coverage. And Jordan Love doesn't do that. And that's the thing. I think Jacob Fromm, it's a little bit of a different case. He's a little bit smaller. He had good weapons at him last year. I don't think he's as accurate as a guy like Jordan Love. But really what you're looking at, you want to look at the physical skills, and you want to make sure that the guy's making plays with his head as well as making plays with his arm strength.
You scare me on the whole development thing, though. I'm looking – so I got a crush on Joe Burrow. I mean, I'll just get right to it.
The development thing is with any quarterback. I mean, you see Sam Darnold come in with immediate returns. You see Daniel Jones with the Giants.
Right.
But any quarterback is going to need development.
Right. No, true. You're right. And you're going to learn at the next level and everything else. So I got a little crush on Joe Burrow. I think he's come on strong here. I don't know where you have him, but is there any shot that Joe Burrow keeps playing the way he's playing? He could be the first overall quarterback?
Highly unlikely. I mean, I would be shocked. He came into the season graded as a sixth-round pick. Could he be a first-round choice? Absolutely. Could he be the first overall pick? No, but that's in large part because there's so much incredible talent at the top, or so much really good, potentially good talent at the top at the quarterback position with Tagliavoa, with Jordan Love. Justin Herbert has fallen off some. I mean, if you're a fan of Joe Burrow, you got to like what Jalen Hurts at Oklahoma is doing because he's having an outstanding season. So I think that Burrow could move into the first round. I don't think he's going to be a top, at least right now, he's not going to be a top 12 pick. I mean, LSU's got a pretty tough schedule ahead of him. They've got some pretty good defenses, and then you're going to want to really watch and see how he does against Alabama, which I believe that game is the beginning of November. And if he's able to keep the momentum going and he's got that, he basically doesn't take the pedal off the metal. He has a good senior ball. He could go very high. I just don't think he's going to be the first pick of the draft.
So, Tony, right now you're way too early. Top five quarterbacks in order or what? No, I'm just because everyone's got a different top, you know, couple. Everyone's got this guy ranked one or this guy. But right now your kind of top five is what when it comes to the quarterbacks coming out or you think are coming out?
I think Tagovailoa is number one. Jordan Love is number two. Justin Herbert's number three. Jalen Hurts is number four. Then Jacob Eason of Washington. Although I will say probably after this week, Eason's probably slid a little bit and Joe Burrow's moving up.
Wow. So you've got Jordan Love too. Tony, boy, you're going out on that one. You see that, you know, and again, he plays against LSU where you don't have the same kind of talent. You got no shot. And you don't put up good numbers. And I got people going, I'm done with Jordan Love. I saw him against LSU. And I'm like, yeah, Utah State's not playing with LSU talent. There's no question. Boy, do you think this is a strong overall quarterback class?
I think it has the potential to be very good. And don't forget, you know, that LSU secondary is as good as most secondaries in the NFL. I mean, they got two first-rounders in there. One guy is going to be a top 15 pick. They got a freshman in there that's potentially going to be a top 15 pick down the road. They got another junior that's going to be a second-day pick. So that is an NFL secondary. But I love Love. I love Love. There you go.
You love the love. That's good. We love when you like that, Tony.
Yeah. He's got the size. He's got the arm strength. He's athletic. He makes plays in and out of the pocket. I think what he's done this year, and you go back to the game against Wake Forest, the first game of the year, I think because of the fact that he doesn't have the talent around him that – forget about Tagovailoa at Alabama. He doesn't have the talent that Justin Herbert has at Georgia, or even Jake Fromm has at Georgia. I think he's just pressing too much. I think he's trying to take too much on his shoulders, which is hurting. Plus, there's also been a change in the head coaching department at Utah State, so it's a bit of a different offense.
Tony, offensive tackle, left, right tackle, whatever it might be, it's going to be priority here for this team, obviously. We got priority number one out of the way in quarterback, but tackle's going to be another one. How deep is it first round, second round, third round with those tackles?
The talent is there. It's just a matter of which underclassmen enter the draft because, as I reported on Pro Football Network a couple of times last month, the word I'm getting is Tristan Wirfs, who would be the highest-rated tackle. And he's from Iowa, is very likely, or he's leaning towards going back to college for another year. His family is giving signs that, you know, this is the direction we're going to go if he enters the draft. But right now, you know, he's got his heart set on returning to Iowa because he's an academic kid. He likes academics and he likes the school. He just likes school. So that is one tackle that may or may not be in the mix. And then you got Walker Little of Stanford, who probably would have been the third highest rated tackle before his injury. We don't know if he's going to enter the draft. If all the top tackles enter the draft, regardless of, assume Wirfs enters and doesn't go back to school and Walker Little's healthy, you're talking about five, maybe six potential first-round prospects at the position.
Wow, that's
nice to hear.
Yeah, you know what? There seems to be, Tony, you watch the NFL for a living. It seems to be a real shortage of offensive linemen. I hear more complaints from every team going, yeah, we're shorthanded. Oh, we got one injury. We're really down. Our offensive line's not where it needs to be. And we hear it almost every week. Does there seem to be a shortage of offensive linemen in the NFL right now?
I think what happens is you know, there have been so many – first of all, what happens is your best athletes, your big guys on the college level are put on the defensive line. They're not made offensive linemen. And then what happens is with the offensive linemen, they're poorly coached on the college level. You know, they're not taught proper fundamentals. It's not, you know, set with a wide base, bend your knees and get your hands up. It's just get yourself comfortable, lock on the other guy, and make sure you block them. So I think the problem is number one, your better athletes, as far as your 300-pounders, are put on the defensive line in college. And then they're not taught proper to block with proper fundamentals, which does not translate well to the next level.
All right, and the other one Zach was getting ready to ask you about. So let me see. We got a bunch of needs down here, Tom. We hit quarterback tackle. And tackle. Those are one, two. We need a pass rusher.
Right.
We need a one-on-one difference maker, a guy to put pressures and sacks. What do you got out there?
As does most of the league.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, you know, the fact that they looks like they're going to have two early first round picks, if depending on what happens with Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
You got Chase Young at Ohio State, who's going to be a very early selection. You got Julian Okwara of Notre Dame, who's probably going to go land in the bottom half of round one. Same thing with Yetur Gross-Matos. So I think what they may look at is with that probably that third first round pick. That's where they may be able to get their pass rusher. And again, we're just projecting here because it's so far out in the future. You know, you probably go maybe quarterback with that first pick, offensive tackle with that second selection, And then with that third selection round one, you take a pass rusher.
Is this a good overall draft, by the way? It potentially, if the underclassmen come out, which I don't understand why they wouldn't, if they're going to be first-round picks. But how's it look?
I think overall solid. I don't think it's anything spectacular. I think what's going to happen is you're going to read in the media how much people love it because of the fact that there are, you know, there's a good amount of quarterbacks. And unfortunately, what goes on is people who don't follow the draft year-round gauge the strength of the draft based on the quarterback class. It's a good tackle class, which teams like to see. It's a very mediocre cornerback class. It doesn't look like it's going to be that great of a cornerback class, especially at the top. And that's really how they gauge it. That's how they gauge it between the tackle class and the cornerback class, as well as the pass rushers. You got a few good pass rushers there, but after Chase Young of Ohio State, it really falls off a lot.
If you were the GM of the Dolphins with the number one pick, would you take Tua?
Boy, there was a long pause there with Tony. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
He's thinking about it.
My whole thing with the Dolphins is I'd rather – you got to put Josh Rosen in and see what you have or what you don't have with Josh Rosen. You made the move for him. You got him at a discounted value. Put him on the field, you know, just as long as you're not getting the crud beat out of him. See what you got with him first and then make your decision there. Tagovailoa, a lot has got to be played out. He's had some bumps in the road. He's a terrific quarterback. I think he's more than just a system guy. I do think he's got the talent. I think he's got it going on between the ears. I think he's got a good amount of upside, a little bit smaller. You have to wonder, you know, does your offensive coordinator like the smaller quarterback? Let's wait and see how it's going to be played out. I'm not sold on him being the first pick of the draft. But we'll have to wait and see.
That was pretty interesting. Okay. By the way, the Josh Rosen thing, Tony, you're watching that. One of my complaints when people get on him and stuff is it's hard to look good sometimes with this offensive line. He got pounded in the first quarter. One of the worst first quarters of offensive pass protection I've ever seen. How do you evaluate a guy through all that? And then he did make some bad throws and bad decisions, but how hard is it to evaluate when you go through that?
It's impossible because, you know, what happens is the guy gets, as we used to say, as you know, the war cabin fever. I mean, he gets gun-shy. You know,
correct.
He's going to get pounded back there. He starts moving his feet when he shouldn't. He starts looking for pass rushers more than he is for receivers. So, you know, you're right. It's a very tough thing, and you can't fully, you know, you can't fully expect to properly scout a guy like that in that sort of situation. It's near impossible.
By the way, I'm with you because it sounds like you like Josh Rosen. I don't know what he's like in the meeting room. He's a little bit different guy overall from some of the guys on the team. I get that with Fitzpatrick on this team. But, man, he's got some talent. He can throw the football. Tony, I see what you guys see in him. Josh, he was a first-round pick for a reason because he's made some throws that you go, wow, it's pretty damn good.
And he gets it between the ears, and you're right. I don't know what he's like in the meeting room, but you got to say this about Josh Rosen. And I was one of those guys who was reporting about his different personality through the 2018.
Oh, it's a little different. I'm just telling
you. But the fact is this: you know what? When that whole situation was going down in Arizona last year, with the Kyler Murray, and that they were going to take Kyler Murray, and Josh Rosen shut his mouth.
Yeah,
Josh Rosen wasn't complaining.
Yep.
He wasn't demanding a trade. He was like, whatever's going to happen is going to happen, and I'm going to adjust to it, which, you know, you got to give credit where credit is due because I thought that showed a lot about Josh Rosen last year.
Tony Pauline, host of the Draft Analyst on the Believe Podcast Network, also analyst at ProFootballNetwork.com. We appreciate your time as always.
Tony, yeah, you held up pretty well. Tony held up well for the team that could have the first overall pick. It's looking real strong, so thank you.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Tony Pauline, our friend, early Tony Pauline.
Boy, I don't – listen, man.
There was a long pause
Jordan
after
Love,
Tua.
I know, but Jordan know. Love second?
Right. Yeah, he's got Tua, Love, Herbert, Hurts.
That's going to be a hard that's going to be a hard sell to fan base coming out of Utah State because the average fan's going to look at those numbers and go, something's wrong here.
Right.
Even though we've heard that name now for a while, does he pull the Duke special and jump ahead of people? Only he's not even in a Power 5 conference.
He's got Burrow 6.
That's going to be a tough one. Yeah, there's no way.
He's got Burrow 6?
There's no way. He said he's moving up, but Joe Burrow's not going to be the fifth quarterback.
6?
Hold on. Put my Mel Kiper Jr. cap on. It's beautiful, man. There's no way Joe Burrow's going that low.
that's the case, you probably get him in the second round.
Yeah, right. All right, well, hey, Chris, just hold on to your second or third. We got a guy.
You can't pull in Ireland. Oh, well, we had him here, but we couldn't.
No, don't do that. Ireland stuff. No. See,
sorry.
Why'd you bring him
sorry.
Up?
Hold it. Hold up, everyone. Are you ready for a sing-along? All right, we're going to jump out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline right now. We're going to talk to Omar Kelly from the South Florida Sun Sentinel. It's brought to you by Bud Light, official sponsor of the Miami Dolphins this football season. Keep it crisp with Bud Light. Please drink responsibly. Omar, welcome to the show. We just had Tony Pauline on, one of your favorites. I know that. Had a long pause after I asked him if you would take Tua number one. What'd you think about that?
You got to keep the theatrics about the draft going, man. That's how you get clicks. That's how you get excitement.
That's why everybody does mock drafts every day. You're right, Omar.
Yeah, man. Listen, it's about the draft excitement. And if you're ready, if you don't have a secret of who's number one, how exciting is that? You know, even the luckier, they had to, RG3. No, man. Listen, there are still games to be played. That LSU-Alabama game is going to be a big, big, big showdown on November 9th. Tua still got to, you know, lead his team to the national championship game, or it'll be a disappointment in Alabama. But understand that the pressure that's placed on Tua to lead that juggernaut of a program, that just makes him ready-made and ready-built for the NFL.
By the way,
that's a
good point.
Not a lot of people can handle that kind of pressure.
That's a great point. I do agree with that. He's playing in bigger games than a lot of guys in the NFL right now that are just playing in.
He is the hunted every single week. Every single week he steps on the field. How many college quarterbacks can say that? For 3 years he has been the hunted.
I want to be hunted with that kind of talent around me. Come get me with all my big brothers around here right now. You can't get me. Hey, let me ask you why we're talking here. You drink any Joe Burrow Kool-Aid or no?
Yeah, I watched that Florida game. I was rooting for Joe Burrow because I hate the Gators, damn it, Zach. I grew up a Gator hater. I'm a die Gator hater. Few things about me will never change, and that's one of them. Burrow, I like a lot about him. I literally had an argument with Godchild in the locker room last week about Tua versus Burrow. Godchild sold me a little bit, but the thing about Burrow is he can't take centers under snap. I mean, he can't take snaps under center. And that has to change to transition into the NFL, and it's going to be an adjustment process. And until he can, you're going to be a flawed quarterback in the NFL. So people have to keep that in mind. He's not pro-ready like a Fromm is, and so shocked the crap out of me that Tony doesn't have Fromm on his list, because I'm fighting to keep Fromm from number two. I want to put Burrow ahead of Fromm. Fromm is probably the most pro-ready outside of Tua. So, you know, I know he struggled the last game, but, you know, struggles don't determine who you are. There's still a lot of games to be played, and I'm going to watch and I'm going to enjoy. This is a long season for evaluation, not just of quarterbacks, because the Dolphins need every damn thing on the field. We got a long way to go.
Let me ask you, how do you evaluate, and what do you think of the comments yesterday? We've seen enough of Josh Rosen. We're good either way we go. It sounded like we've already know we're going to get a quarterback. So whatever we get, we've had a pretty good look at him. What'd you take out of those comments?
It has bothered me for the last 2 days, Sunday and Monday, that Brian Flores is. Definition of how Josh Rosen has been playing has been good, quote unquote good. Josh Rosen is the worst rated quarterback in the NFL in just about every statistical category. How is that good? You could blame the talent around him, you could blame the protection, and some of that is valid. But let's not deny that Ryan Fitzpatrick walked away from last Sunday's game with 100 quarterback rating. Josh Rosen is the worst rated quarterback in every statistical category in the NFL, and your head coach says that he's been good. Like, I can't. If these are the standards that we're going to have for a starting quarterback, I'm done. I just can't. I can't have any belief, any faith, any conviction that you actually know what this you're doing. If this is the standard that you have for this team, and I understand you're a very bad team. You're a tremendously bad team, might be competing for the worst team in NFL history because your talent is so bad. If you are going to say that the worst performing quarterback, starting quarterback in the NFL has been good in anything, any aspect of his game, because he hasn't even reached average yet. Like, I'm done. I can't.
I thought it was an interesting comment about the fact, because now what? Now you can go to Fitzpatrick or Rosen whenever you want. It doesn't even matter at this point if you already know what you got or think you know you have with Rosen so far, and it just puts him in a bad situation. I know the money's there, so he's going to be here no matter what the next couple of years because the money's good for that, even as a backup.
Yeah.
But, like, no valuation at all outside of the fact, well, we stink, so he must stink.
It doesn't surprise. Ryan Fitzpatrick is a better quarterback. We're not even going to debate that. But all you need to know is you're playing an inferior quarterback this season because you want to get the number one pick. Let's not deny it. Josh Rosen delivered the number one pick for the Arizona Cardinals. You're hoping he will do the same for you as the Miami Dolphins. Let's not deny it. Don't sit here and tell people, because the whole locker room heard that. They paid attention to that. And while everybody else is getting criticized for their crappy play, Josh Rosen's being propped up as saying he's good. He's completing 53% of his passes. He's thrown one touchdown, five interceptions, 16 sacks, 5.2 yards per attempt. All of those numbers, tragically bad. Every single one of them. There's nothing you can say, and I would love for anybody, including Chad O'Shea, to say, tell me what Josh Rosen has been doing good on the field.
Does he start every game, Omar, the rest of the way, or no? Has that changed? Is he still going to start?
He has to start every game because we got to lose. And it is what it is. Like, if you don't get what this season is about, like, you're a moron at this point. Like, it is what it is. He's got to lose. Suffer one season to change your franchise trajectory for a decade. This is what the season is about. So let's follow through with what we need to achieve.
Omar, has anyone on the offensive line since camp broke and the regular season started gotten better through five games?
It's hard to say yes because no. It's hard to say yes. I expected they were a unit that had shown signs that they were getting better, and then they started the first three series allowing four sacks. Michael Dieter is the weakest link on that unit. And the problem is he's the most important person on that unit. And you have to, and the coaches have to figure out a way to get him to play better because it's not good enough right now. Right now he's entering the Dallas Thomas realm of offensive guard play. And it makes me very, very nervous and uncomfortable that that's what you're getting from him. I think you just need solid. Right now, you know, Jesse Davis goes back from left tackle to right tackle. It's going to take him a minute to make that transition. Everybody understood what that's about. I like Brom. I like what he's done. I haven't watched the coach's film this today. I'm going to watch it this morning. I think he's an upgrade over what they had, Danny Isadora. The problem is everything is so unsettled there, and right now Daniel Kilgore is battling some injuries. It's just going to continue to get worse. And as we've seen, you know, this offensive line play is the unit that's going to prop up this whole team or make it fall apart. And as we see, it's falling apart right now. But they purposely made the line this way so that the season would fall apart as it has.
Well, but this goes back to what you say one thing, then kind of the other. Like, how can you look good with the way that offensive line started in this game? Josh Rosen took some vicious hits. It didn't matter who you were. I mean, he had time off play action. He got pounded.
Yeah. Those were three drives, Joe. What happened the rest of his drive?
Oh, I just think you get the crap knocked out of you. I think you get shell-shocked a little bit. I do agree with that theory. Some do you?
Yeah, absolutely. I do agree.
I get punched enough, every time you lift your arm, I'm going to start walking away from you a little bit. I'm going to be a little scared there, man. So, I think Josh has got a little bit of talent. I think there's some other things besides just the talent.
He's got arm talent.
He's a little different dude, and I wonder if he's not a little bit too much of a different dude for the coaching staff, for the organization, which, by the way, they should have known. If they got issues, it should have never taken place, what took place during the draft, and that will be another topic that's going to pop up, right?
I don't know. As long as he delivers two, I don't really care at this point. It's we all know what it's about. We all know why he's starting. I think he has arm talent. The problem is I'm still waiting for that game where we're like, okay, yeah, give me that 2-touchdown, that 100 quarterback rated game. I meant to look up when Ryan Tannehill had his first 100 rated quarterback game. We need a good, clean, solid performance.
Omar, it's hard to do with what he's got playing around him. First of all, inconsistent wide receiver play.
Let me ask you a question. This offensive line is really bad. Do you think Ryan Fitzpatrick, I'm not saying that this should happen because I'm so.
Yes, I think Ryan could have won the last game. Yes. I think we'd have one win. Yes.
Do you think Ryan Fitzpatrick could deliver a 100 quarterback rating with this exact team?
No. For four quarters, I don't. No? No. I just personally don't. No.
Yeah, I do. I think he's got one 3-touchdown performance in him. The quarterback has to make the tide rise. Call the right protections, make the right reads. People will acknowledge that Josh Rosen is not reading the field fast enough.
No, that is some of it. But these five offensive linemen, and trying to be fair to them too. I mean, it's week to week. Like Jesse goes, hey Joe, guess what? I'm going from left tackle back to right tackle. If you're wondering, so okay, Jesse, go get him, man. Who are you playing next to? Brand new guy, Joe. So
it's a challenge. It's a challenge on the offensive line, and I love that. I love those guys. That's the unit I gravitate to every single year. They're going through a lot. They are truly going through a lot, and they have no unit on this team has gone through more than that offensive line. Don't even claim it because you didn't have your best player traded. You didn't lose two starters to injury. You didn't have your best player move from left tackle to right tackle, play with an elbow injury. Your leader isn't battling shoulder injury, not leg injury, not knee injury. Like you didn't have to work in three new starters to your unit the first week of the season. Like don't pretend like they haven't been put through it by the team on purpose.
Omar, before I let you go real quick, Harrison Ballage, playing time going away like a fart in the wind, right?
Here's what I will say on this. It's time to trade Kenyon Drake. Get what you can get for him. He's on a final year of his contract. You're already going to spend like crazy in free agency, so you're not going to get a compensatory pick. Go get a fifth-round pick for Kenyon Drake. Stop holding him as a prisoner and hostage. You barely even use him. Like, go trade him.
He got more touches than anybody. I'm not getting rid of Kenyon Drake. He's good. Why would I want to get rid of him?
For what? Are you going to re-sign him?
I'm going to try to.
Okay.
I got enough picks. I don't need
it. Commitment, Joe.
I don't need any more fifth-round picks. I got all these high picks next year. I got to hit on those. I'm keeping this guy. This guy's good. He got more touches.
For what, Joe? You're not using him.
What do you mean you're not using him? He got a bunch of touches in the game. Got the most carries. He had some catches. I'm not getting rid of him.
He got the same amount of touches and more yards.
So? Kenyon Drake's got a gear that Walton doesn't have to break a big play. Once
you're
we
right.
get good.
You're right. Which is why he's got value, Joe. Go get something for him. You think Kenyon Drake's going to come back to this?
Now you sound like Chris Greer. Let's just get rid of everything. That was good.
No. Do you think Kenyon Drake is going to want to come back to this?
No, probably not, but we got to try. I mean, okay. I think we hit on a third-round pick, which we don't do a lot.
Yeah.
I don't know.
True.
I try to keep him, man. I think he's. I'm a big Kenya. I think you got to look at everything around every guy on both sides of the ball that you expect more out of or whatever, and go,
Joe,
hey, man, it's
hard.
Explain
to me why he's not starting, and explain to me why he came into the third series of the game. If he's such a talented weapon.
Oh, I was surprised. I was surprised Walton played ahead of him. Although Walton's played a lot better. Walton's been one of the guys that's played better than I thought on the team, and there's
Absolutely.
Not too many of those guys. But as far as gear, and now I'm running super late because you always get me going. You find a way every time. You and I are going to start doing a podcast.
Oh, look at that. Debut of something
No,
here?
I'm just kidding, man. I'm a terrible podcast.
Omar,
you're good at it.
Thank you for your time.
All right, guys.
All right, that was Omar Kelly from the Sun Sentinel, brought to you by Bud Light, official sponsor of the Miami Dolphins this football season. Keep it crisp with Bud Light. Please drink responsibly.
All right, welcome back. Thank Omar for coming on and stirring it up. Fifth round pick for Kenyon Drake.
It still got you going.
I don't want any more fifth round picks.
What about four?
I got enough draft picks.
What about four?
How about try to keep somebody? I still believe I got a whole bunch. This is all brand new to me, by the way, just like it's new to everybody what the Dolphins have done.
Well, of course.
So, I mean, you really – and I probably spend way too much time thinking about it. So I have a couple theories. First of all, it's really hard to look good on a bad team. It's really hard to stand out on a bad team. So I always take that into
account. Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Consideration when a lot of guys don't play well. Sure. Though last game we had a lot of guys make a lot more plays, which was a good sign. It's hard when offensive line doesn't play well for the quarterback evaluation. I still believe that. Even though Fitzpatrick came in and played great in the fourth quarter and had some nice drives, could he have done that? What happens to Fitzpatrick in that first quarter with what they faced? And they made adjustments. I thought the Redskins slowed down a little bit defensively, were a little tired, and everything else. But, again, and so getting back to the other thing, like, so Kenyon Drake and Bellage is really all obviously falling out of grace with the coach because Mark Walton's playing a lot. I was surprised. I see Mark Walton out there, played a lot of football the other day, and I know it's about everything, and the guys that play the best are getting rewarded no matter who you are, whether you just joined a team or you got drafted like Kalen and Kenyon did by the Dolphins. But Kenyon Drake, to me, and Kalen Bellage, they were drafted really high, and Mark Walton was drafted too. But Kalen Bellage and Kenyon Drake got, like, freakish talent. Now, I'm worried Kalen's lost some confidence right now. This whole thing has been hard on him. And he's, you know, got some growing up. I don't give up on him. I'm not giving up on him.
It looks like they have a little bit.
And, well, yeah. I mean, he's going to have to get this thing rolling again. But, I mean, he's – when you're 235 pounds, like, he's going to play in this league for a long time. Somebody's going to get his confidence up, and he's going to play at a high level. And you're going to see more 60- and 70-yard runs by this guy. I mean, he outran the whole Minnesota. That right. Thing was freakish. That
still
doesn't
great
just
highlight,
happen, right?
Yep.
And Kenyon Drake is, you know, I hear people bitching about him, and, yeah, he's got a few drops, but Kenyon Drake's really good. Like, he has shown the last 2 years before this one that he's really good. And so I don't want to give up a fifth-round pick because there's a chance you can get him next year. You got all that money, and, you know, if his attitude and they're okay with all that stuff, and I hope we have him back. I happen to like him.
Remember, you're not paying Le'Veon Bell money for Kenyon Drake next year.
But I want to say this about Mark Walton, to be fair, who I've watched since he was in high school. Some of those great Booker T games against Central were unbelievable. Mark Walton's really good. Like, you want to talk about two guys that I've been pleasantly surprised by their play. Mark Walton has played – it's been mop-up time. Then he did it again last week, and he had some plays, again, under very difficult circumstances of talent around him. Mark Walton's played really well. Like, good pickup, good second chance for Mark Walton, and he's paid off. So I'm playing catch with the guys. He's fitting in. You can tell he's at home being back home and playing a high level. And there's something to be said for that. But we got to get the other two guys going. But like Rosen, I don't know how much you can get Kenyon Drake and Kalen Bellage going with this offensive line the way it is.
Isn't that the problem?
It's just limited.
With all, like, these evaluations?
There's a reason why all these guys, nobody's broken. Our longest run from scrimmage is barely a first down at this point. And so the evaluation, when they're doing their evaluation on everybody, it's hard. It's hard to look real good till the whole group, till you get some good play. It's a lot easier, and I'm telling you firsthand, it's a lot easier to look really good when I got really good players, some of the best players in the NFL playing on each side of me. I look a lot better. And I'm telling you firsthand, that's being out there. And the joke was that Clayton and Duper used to run takeoffs, and then I'd come down the middle 20 yards behind them, and there'd be a nice big hole because those two were flying down the side, and the safeties had to take off and help the corners. When you play next to really good players, you're going to play a lot better.
Yep.
You played around Tim Bowens. Zach Thomas always said, Timbo made me a lot better. And when you got a real strong pass rusher, the guy on the other side's going, hey, JT, thanks, bro. I look a lot better because your ass is really good.
A couple of those guys need to thank JT for that.
So, and when you don't have a lot of that, and it's hard. That's just my theory on this whole group when you're doing evaluations. Because I'd ask everybody, you know, how many guys are really having good seasons right now?
For the Dolphins? You really to point him out?
It's hard.
I don't know.
It's hard.
You would think that you'd be able to run at the top of your head. Yes.
You know, I think Raekwon has played a lot better than anybody thought. Man, Raekwon, another couple nice plays again the other day. Raekwon is playing out of it. Good for him, man.
How about an offense?
Well, Mark Walton's played better than I thought.
Okay.
But I had Mark Walton was a third running back going in and has moved up and
any
starts.
Wide receiver? Outside of one catch last week, any tight end?
I think Gesicki and Preston Williams and Devontae as a group played the best they played, but that was in the second half. Mm. And it's not their fault because, again, there was no time to throw early in the game. So these evaluations are really, really hard. Preston Williams was unbelievable, returning punts, 6'5". I asked my guys, like, when's the last time we saw a guy 6'5", 220, returning punts?
They said it on the TV broadcast, too.
He caught – oh, they did?
Yeah, they
oh,
swear to God.
Funny.
They did. They said, oh, he's 6'5".
Because Jimmy Cephalo returned punts when he was with the Dolphins
what
for a while.
6 foot, 6'1"?
And I said, and he goes, yeah, it's been a long time since I can remember somebody that big returning punts. And, by the way, returned one down the sideline. I mean, he's got – Preston Williams got freakish talent. Mm. And if we can get he and Devontae, who are motivated dudes, to show – but it's hard to look good when you know you ain't going to be running a lot of takeoffs on time and stuff because you don't know how much time you have and when a blitz. And we haven't done a very good job picking up blitzes at all. Like, I'm shocked everybody doesn't blitz against us because we struggle on blitzes. So that's just something I always bring up when everybody decides this guy's garbage or that guy's garbage or good. I'm still looking at upside, and I may be by myself, but I ain't giving up on a guy 6'2", 235 pounds named Kalen Ballage or a guy 6'1", 211. I could run a track meet with those two against any two running backs in the NFL, and I'm probably going to win because Kenyon and Kalen can run. Now, I know I haven't seen it.
That's what I would tell you.
I knew you were going to say that. Yeah. I knew you were getting ready to go there.
Ballage is not getting any playing time anymore. They don't even play him.
I know, but you can't, like, give up on him.
But they have. They've given up.
And by the way, part of the coach's job is to get his confidence back.
I agree with that, too.
Because it's down. I'm going to try to help him. Get him at one of my counselors that I go to.
We'll get going.
Hey, we got Brian Baldinger going to join us. Speaking of NFL Network analyst, does a lot of great stuff with the offensive line. Breaks it down. If you ever see his stuff on NFL Network, it's great. So, anyway, we'll be talking to him coming up at the 9 o'clock hour. We'll jump on him with just a couple minutes away. We got all kinds of stuff going on, and I know it's blowing up. 560-22. Everybody's got their own thoughts. I know you probably think I'm half nuts. I am half nuts. I'm half nuts right now.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.